First, however, you and I need to talk about the future of our railways. Bruce Williamson is from Rail Future. Joins me now. Bruce, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So here we are. We have a Conservative government, which seems to be rather indicating that maybe their predecessors failed when it came to our rail network. And they're talking about nationalisation. Really?
Yeah, who would have thought it, eh? But the thing is, of course, it's happened before already. The East Coast Main Line has been temporarily nationalised three times now because of the failings of that particular franchise. And there does seem to be a growing sense of, you know, amongst not just the government and commentators and everyone, really, that franchising in its current form has got to change because it simply doesn't work, really.
Is this because rails are a natural monopoly? And if you have a natural monopoly, then trying to impose some kind of market force doesn't work?
There is partly that. And obviously, you know, the fragmentation of the rail industry, when it clearly has to sort of work as an integrated whole, as a network, you know, I think that doesn't help. And also, there's another factor as well. I mean, you know, even though it's a natural monopoly, the railway network does face competition from other modes of transport. You might argue that, you know, you've got no choice about which rail operator company you use, but you can also choose not to use the railways at all and take the car or the bus or whatever.
Of course, those alternatives exist. What I find difficult to understand, though, is whether nationalisation really is the answer if you're not going to invest. Because the big problem why, you know, you've got franchise organisations not being able to make this pay is that, in essence, they're putting in a long-term contract. They're making a lot of predictions about how much usage there's going to be, how much investment they're going to make, how many staff they're going to have to employ, and how many refurbs of the various bits of rolling stock that they're going to have. And all of those predictions, if they get it right, they're in the money, and if they get it wrong, they're stuffed. If you have a poorly funded railway, it doesn't matter whether it's private or public, the service is going to be shocking.
I think you've absolutely hit the nail on the head. You know, one of the things we've always argued for with the railway is, you know, sustained long-term investment. And this goes back decades as well, to even when it was, British Rail nationalised. And this sort of feast and famine has been part of the problem for the railways. But you mentioned sort of risk and revenue, and that's another key part of it, you know, because the franchisees have to make a bid based on what they think is going to be the revenue for that particular franchise, that particular line, and they sort of price in that risk. So that's you know, a cost that we all have to bear. And of course, if the public sector were to absorb that risk, I think, you know, that would be a better model because the public sector is better able to absorb that risk. And that's what's gone wrong with the East Coast Main Line franchise. I think on three occasions, all three occasions, you could argue that the franchisee overbid for it, and then they find they couldn't meet the revenue predictions that they forecast, and the thing went bust.
The thing I find staggering, though, on all of this is, I'm just wondering where the level of service is, because we've moved to a level where rail has become so commoditized. And that's fine for commuting, and I understand why it has to be commoditized and why it is about capacity. But when you're talking about prime time travel, if you like, which is so important to get people traveling around, and particularly when they don't have to travel in rush hour, travel at other times. But there's no romanticism within the rail system anymore. Now, is it wrong for me to suggest that I would like to see railway carriages that do have compartments, that do have different levels of service, so that, say, for example, you're thinking about, right, okay, well, I want to go to the Lake District for a weekend, I want to, you know, for my holiday travel, we're going to do a staycation, we're going to take the train, and actually to have an experience that which is fundamentally quite pleasant, and driven by, you know, dining carriages and you know, quite a, you know, luxurious offer, if you like, or is that simply me talking about a bygone age that, to be honest, is a sideshow when it comes to rail and transport and the necessity to get a lot of people from A to B?
Well, yeah, you might be right there. Clearly, you know, the necessity is for people to get from A to B. I mean, you know, the train operating companies, for very obvious reasons, want to get people to travel when it's not rush hour, and that's why in this country more than any other country, and more than under British Rail, the train operating companies have sort of demand management. So your cheapest off-peak super apex return, where you book 3 years in advance, will cost you threepence halfpenny, and if you want to travel right now, it will cost you an arm and a leg. But of course, those heavily stuffed rush hour trains, when they're not being used for rush hour, are available for the leisure traveller. But of course, you can't sort of change the internal layout of the train and give people more legroom for those occasions, because the internal layout of the train is not flexible.
Indeed not. And just finally to you, Bruce, do you think this is going to happen? Do you think that we're ultimately going to see the rail network returned to public ownership?
Well, you have to look into your crystal ball and work out who's going to win the next general election. So it's clearly Labour are committed to nationalisation, and the Tories are ideologically wedded to privatisation. But I'm pretty confident there will be changes. I think the franchising system in its current form will be changed, and maybe we'll move over to more of a sort of contract, sort of concession type arrangement, where the private sector is just paying, giving a fixed contract to run the railways and not take on the risk of the revenue.
Bruce, thank you very much indeed for that and for joining us this morning here on Talk Radio. That's Bruce Williamson of Rail Future talking about Northern Rail, maybe nationalised, but also talking about the changes that are on the way, regardless of who's politically in command or control.